Hey guys, welcome back to Real Time Crime. I'm Hannah.
And I'm Jadaim.
And today we will be wrapping up our category for May of cold cases with the case of Helen Cardwell from Niles, Illinois in 1992. Take it away, Jadaim.
So as Hannah mentioned, this case takes place in 1992 on November 10th in Niles, Illinois, which is right off the north border of Chicago, so about 25 minutes from downtown. Helen Cardwell was a 35-year-old woman from West Virginia, and she had just recently moved from West Virginia to Illinois, and she was looking for a new job. So she was actually living at this time in a YMCA building. And I was actually under the impression that YMCA was more like a fitness center and all of that stuff, not apartments. But evidently still nowadays, there's also some centers that offer low-income housing as a resource for the community. And this was Anna's case also back then. So I'm actually going to read an article that was published the day after her murder. So the headline of this article is "Police Identify Woman Found Strangled in Niles YMCA." And it reads, "Police identified a 35-year-old West Virginia woman on Monday who was sexually assaulted and strangled with her sweater in a room at the Leaning Tower YMCA in Niles. Helen Cardwell of Huntington, West Virginia, was discovered Sunday afternoon naked, except for a pair of white socks on a bed in room 619 of the YMCA, said Niles Police Sergeant Roger Wilson. Cardwell's sister found the body when she arrived Sunday afternoon for a weekly visit, he said. The door was ajar when she got there, Wilson said. When she walked inside, she found her sister's body on top of the bedspread. Cardwell was strangled with her own sweater sometime late afternoon or early Sunday, Wilson said. The garment was still wrapped around her neck when she was found. Police said it appeared the woman had been sexually assaulted before her death. Relatives told police Cardwell moved into the YMCA several months ago after she moved to the area in search for a job. She was to begin working Monday at the Lutheran General Hospital in Park Ridge, Wilson said. So that was what they published the day after they found her body. Okay. So as the article stated, she was found by her sister. And the first red flag that I saw was that the door was ajar. You know, like if you're in your apartment, like you would never leave your door opened, especially in such a huge building where you don't know anyone, because she was new to the building. She was new to the area. So in 1992, the technology and investigations, from what I could tell, were very limited because the case literally went cold like the week later. I'm not sure if it's because of the technology or because investigators didn't really look into it, but I couldn't find anything else aside from this article that spoke on the investigation. So really all the family knew at this point was that a stranger literally just came in, sexually assaulted their sister and murdered her basically in her own apartment. So the case was cold for 30 years until 2020, when the Niles Police Department formed a cold case team, literally just to bring back old cases and just start digging into them. And one of the cases that they were digging into was Helen's. Hannah and I have mentioned previously and many other cases that DNA technology has greatly increased over the years. And I think in several of our cases, DNA technology has been like the break in the case, and that's how they find a lot of these murders. So that's what happened in this case. 30 years later, they were able to reopen the case, and the Niles Police Department tested some DNA that they had found on Helen from when she was sexually assaulted. And luckily, it gave them a match. However, they had a match for someone it just took them a long time to actually pin the suspect, because the suspect had such an extensive criminal history. And I'm going to go a little into it. It ended up matching to 72-year-old Richard Sisto. And he was so hard to find because he was currently in jail in 2020, all the way in Texas. So even though he had murdered Helen in Illinois, he was currently in jail in Texas. And he was in custody for a minor offense in Harris County. So a warrant for his arrest was signed on October 15th of 2020, and immediately he was set a bond for $1 million. And he was also set to be extradited back to Illinois because that's where the crime was committed. So as I was doing my research, honestly, I thought the story ended there, you know, like he was in jail, he got caught, and that's the end of it. But then I decided to start looking more into who Richard was. And I found a whole lot more because I found an article that was dated 2005. And as I was reading it, it's kind of upsetting because I feel like police could have caught him in 2005 if they would have had that DNA tested at that time. So his criminal history is just so extensive. And I'm going to go a little into what I found in this article. So in 1992, mind you, this is the year that he killed Helen. So in 1992, he was sentenced with 15 years after being charged for two rapes, the same year that he killed Helen. So not only did he, you know, sexually assault and kill Helen, but he was actually caught for two other rapes. So I did the math, and he didn't end up serving all 15 years because he did come out sometime in 2005. And when he came out, he was 56 years old. And this is when Illinois and Texas were having like a battle back and forth about extraditing him back to Texas because that's where he was originally from, but he was committing the crimes in Illinois and back and forth. So Texas and Illinois made an agreement that he would stay in Illinois as long as he was a registered sex offender, and he would have sort of an officer that would check on him every so often just to make sure that he was in compliance with his parole. So, you know, it's 2005. He's out after serving so many years, but he's still not being caught for the murder of Helen. During this time, he got married twice. He started working in a car dealership, somewhat successful. He had a child, and, you know, he was doing his thing. He probably thought he was going to get away with it forever. So everything was good, and he was living his life until one of the years he missed his check with his officer. And you know, with whatever you're convicted with, that's always going to raise a red flag. So it turns out he had gone to Texas, and this is when he was in jail for minor offense. It said, I couldn't exactly find what it was for, but it was for minor offense. He was still in jail. And at the same time, Niles police was running his DNA. And when they found him in jail. And that's when they got the tip that he had left Illinois and was now in a Texas jail. So at this point, like I said, he committed a small crime. He got caught missing his check-in with his officer. So he's currently in prison in Texas. So at the same time, Niles police is running, you know, their DNA in Niles. And then, like I said, for a while, they weren't able to find him because he wasn't in jail yet. So at the point where he is imprisoned in Texas is when they finally connect their match, you know, from Niles, and that he's in prison in Texas. So then after this, they once again extradite him from Texas to Illinois, and he's currently in prison in Illinois. Currently, he's 72 years, actually he's 74 because in 2020 he was 72. So he's currently 74, and his background is just so extensive that I'm sure he's going to spend the rest of his life in prison. His mugshot, he's wearing oxygen, like an oxygen tank. I don't know how much life he'll have left. But, you know, from everything that he does have on his record, it's likely that he's going to end up in jail. Because I also couldn't find how much they had, like, sentenced him for her death. Because a lot of the articles said that they, Niles police just wasn't speaking much on the suspect. Because it was such, like, a private investigation. But I'm sure that he'll spend many, many years in jail for, you know, escaping his parole and for murdering Helen in the 90s. I'm so upset that he didn't get caught in 2005. It's that Niles didn't reopen the case until 2020. So, like, imagine if they would have never reopened it, I think he would still be out there.
You're probably not wrong. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, because, like, truly, they only tested it in 2020, you know, so his DNA was out there even before that, because he had been in and out of jail. But, like, if they never tested Helen's DNA, then it was just hard to catch him, essentially. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm glad he's behind bars. And, yeah, I think you're right. He's probably not going anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah. And it was sad also because his second wife mentioned in one of the articles that she was, like, traumatized because she had no idea the monster that she had married. Like, this man had literally made up, like, a second life after he got out of jail in 2005. So, like I said, he got out of jail, he got a good job, bought a house, got married, and had a kid. And his wife had no idea who he was, you know, like, you don't just tell someone, hey, I was charged with 2 counts of rape and I just did 15 years in jail. So, yeah, she literally said, like, verbatim, I was traumatized and I had no idea what to do with my life. I felt like everything was a lie. So that was also really hard for her to live with that afterwards.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. I hope she's doing okay. That's really got to mess you up. And his kid too.
Yeah, I hope. As and it didn't seem like he hurt them personally.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they're doing, I hope they're doing okay. Yeah. But thankfully he didn't do much damage to them personally.
That's good.
So in this case, I do actually have a small takeaway that I want to point out. Like I mentioned, Helen lived in a YMCA building that has, even back in the 90s and even now, has been made to help low-income families and low-income individuals. So there is still one of these in the Chicago area. If anyone out there ever needs a resource, it is open to men over 21. And like I said, it's designed to be something short-term, more independent living, just to help you, you know, get back on your feet if you ever need it. And I think it's a great resource. I'm going to link the information website in the description bar if anyone needs to, you know, do any research on it. But I think it's a great resource just to put out there in case anyone does need it. So that's all I have for today's case.
We will see you next week when we start our new category for the month of June.
And as always, if you haven't already, don't forget to follow us on social media, on Facebook and Instagram at Real Time Crime.